This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres can wrap up the season series with a win against Carolina tonight, and few times have we said that in recent years, but Buffalo won here against the Canes. They fell in Raleigh, and with four wins in a row and seven in the last eight, I would say, Marty Baron, that they are in a, you know, they're better suited to close out this season series in their favor tonight.
They're better suited. Why? Because, number one, they have depth up front, and everybody's kind of – look, the Sabres did finish the game with a tweak in their lines in the last game, right? So you're looking at it and you say – okay, so Quinn and Tuck kind of swaps places. It seems like, you know, by the way they looked at the morning skate, that probably go back to what it started with, what has been giving them the success of late. But Lindy Ruff is not hesitating to switch things up in game. Like, I know it's, you know, the end of the season, and unfortunately the Sabres are not in the playoff spot, but you still got to win games. You still got to play. You still got to try to find the right pieces. And, you know, so he did that in the last game after the second period. And they, you know, produced in the third. And but now he's going back to the original lines, which has Thompson on one line, has Peterka and Quinn on the other, has Tuck and Zucker on the other. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a well-balanced top nine.
And the expectation is James Reimer. So where or how do you view this tonight for James, who was able to sit back and comfortably watch Buffalo have very strong second and third periods and pulling away from the Bruins on Sunday, and now he seeks a seventh straight win personally.
Yeah, and when you look at the way that Rimes has been playing, it's a lot about maturity, and the Sabres talk about mature game in the way that they need to play. And a lot of that for a team, it's puck management, it's not taking risks when you don't have to, it's being disciplined, you know. At this time of year, usually we call that playoff hockey. When you play a mature game, like, other teams are going to say, oh, we're in playoff hockey mode. Well, you're not in playoff hockey mode, but you still can have a mature type game. For James Reimer, I feel, in a goalie, a mature game is different. A mature game is being patient, being confident. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about net coverage. Man, by the way, I watched Connor Hellebuyck yesterday with the Winnipeg Jets. You talk about a goalie that can utilize net coverage. Mm-hmm. Just look at the Buchnevich chance. 2-1 with a minute and a half left. He gets the puck. He goes to shoot. There's nothing to shoot at.
Right.
And that's what James Reimer's been able to do. And I think last game, we saw with Luukkonen against Boston, he was chasing it early, couple of goals. Then he settled in a little bit, but he's got to get to the point where net coverage is a really big thing for a goaltender, and Reimer's been able to do that.
And he'll look to build upon his season numbers, which are 8-8-2, but that's 8-6-2 with Buffalo this year, and trying to get that first win against the Canes this year. He was in goal for the loss in Raleigh. As far as the Hurricanes themselves, going to the playoffs again, 96 points, losers of two straight, those games to Detroit and Boston. Inevitable blip after going 12-2 in the previous 14. What do you make of the Canes?
Well, the Bruins game was terrible.
It was.
It was. It was.
But they also
awful.
Got beat by David Pastrnak, which and Morgan Geekie, and you know
we almost saw that in Buffalo.
You do have to tip the cap to just how well Pastrnak's going. But it was a little bit of a, oh my gosh, how did that happen?
And look, Boston didn't get many shots. I think they got 21 shots that game. So you know, that's basically what.
But that's
it was.
Carolina. They don't give up any.
Give up a lot. And But their goalies still have, you know, like Freddie Anderson, despite giving up five on six on 21, mm-hmm. He still had a 914. Like, the save percentage took a hit in that game, but he still had a 914. They don't give up a lot. We talk about the LA Kings and their home record.
Yes.
The Carolina Hurricanes home record has been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. On the road, they're technically, you know, like, what is it, five games under, well, under 500. They're two games under NHL 500, but they're 16 and 21 on the road, because I'm using your view of it. 16 and 21 on the road.
Yeah.
This is not the typical Rod Brind'Amour team that plays well on the road. Why are you laughing? So because
just out of camera view, we have Mission Impossible. I don't know what number they're at, but.
You know what this is like?
No, I know what it is. I'm saying what my mind went to when I thought somebody was going to be rappelling down from the upper level.
Right, well, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Back to the Future, the very end of the first one, when Doc has to reconnect the wires together. That looks exactly like that dead plug. Like, if I grabbed it and I was like getting shocked.
Okay, can you do a live video on social right now, Instagram Live, so people can get the alternate feed of what's that? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, in the meantime, I do want to remind you, this is the final game of the Sabres homestand, but they've got two more to go here at KeyBank. And Sabres fans can win two tickets to Fan Appreciation Night on April the 17th, plus the opportunity to receive Jason Zucker's game-worn jersey on the ice after the game. All you got to do is visit sabres.com/jersey to win. With Noah Oslin, as we get ready for tonight's Sabres-Canes clash, game three for you, how would you describe the first two?
Yeah, they've been funny. Of course, a dream coming through, so it's been cool.
The coach says that he loves the way you play defensively. We all want to see the offense, but, you know, we've seen it in Rochester. What does that feel like when the coach says, he's not making any mistakes, and I can trust him on the defensive side?
Yeah, it means a lot. That's how I want to be as a player too, to be reliable in both ends. So, of course, that's good to hear.
How was that first power play opportunity in game one?
Yeah, it was. First shift was a little bit nervous, but could have had a tip there on the shot. But yeah, it was fun.
Did you go back and watch it a couple
of
times?
Of
you're
course.
Like, oh, what?
Yeah, it was a pretty slow shot too. So
and
should have
tipped
it. Who shot it?
I think it was OP.
Okay, so we got to tell OP. Hey, Noah thinks he got a slow shot.
Yeah, but you're not often in that position on the power play. Often you're on strong side, up high, seeing the ice from a different vantage point. So how much do you work actually on deflections and situations like that?
Yeah, it's the first time I'm there on the power play. So we worked today with a little bit of tips, and that's where you score, so it's a good position to be in.
Alex Tuck teach you some, because he's probably the best tipper on the team.
You
got to
tip it off yourself.
So yeah, I saw that one. Yeah,
that was last game.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I used to, every practice, Dave Andrechuk used to say, Marty, in net, and then he'd get a defenseman, shoot pucks, and he would keep his stick in front of him, and he would screen the goalie and tip everything. It was incredible. Is that some of the things you were working on today?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where you score, so it's that's where you have to be.
So how did you work on all the other stuff over the years? I mean, at what point did you, you know, really feel like two-way game is going to be your kind of launch into pro hockey?
Yeah, I think I've always been like that, kind of. And of course, there was some struggle at the beginning with the offense, but I felt that it would come because I created so many chances, but couldn't finish. And from that on, I think I've been working on that every day, so now it's better.
But now you seemingly, with Rochester, the goals are coming in from everywhere. So how, like, kind of rewarding is that to know that all the work you put in allows you power play, even strength, shorthanded, all situation? Like, it just seems like there's a confidence everywhere.
Yeah, of course. I think it's a lot of confidence. I mean, you want to be an offensive guy, you want to produce, so that's where your confidence comes from, so yeah.
Who was your favorite players growing up?
I would say Pavel Datsyuk in Detroit.
Okay, so, you know, the hands, the magic man.
Yeah,
like, but
exactly.
He was really good at both ends of the ice. He was so reliable.
For sure.
A great passer, a great playmaker. So do you still sometimes go back and watch Datsyuk videos to kind of see what he's, just as a reminder?
Yeah, I've done that. Now it was a pretty long time ago, but of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah.
Got any Swedes? Any countrymen that you love?
No, not really. When I was really young, it was I liked Kane.
Yeah.
Kane. The hands there too, so.
Yeah, the hands are definitely
there.
So,
yeah.
But okay, so Kane is number 88. Datsuk was 13, right? So, you end up with 36. You know, you're 86 in Rochester. I love 86 for you. And now you got 36. Could that change at some point in the future?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I didn't get to choose this time, so.
Oh yeah.
36 was just.
So that was your training camp number.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, you got 36.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But 86 is nice. I like that one.
86 is really nice.
What did you wear as a kid most years?
I think I was 13 because of that suit.
Yeah.
And then when I changed to a bigger club in Sweden, I got handed 45, so I had that a couple of years.
45 is not a forward number.
No, I know.
Like it's a defenseman number, I think. 45 is like, isn't Curry in Montreal 45, I think? Like 45 is a defenseman number.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but 86 is nice.
86 is really nice. Yeah. So what about your stick? Like, you know, we Duffer's been telling me, hey, look at Noah, look at how he's done in Rochester. But I look at the shot. Like the one-timer, sometimes the knee down.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of that work is in your stick. So what kind of stick do you use? The flex, the curve, like any little special things that you do?
Yeah, I use a 75 flex.
That's pretty whippy.
Yeah, but I just changed to 75.
Okay.
Like I had 70 almost till Christmas, then I changed, and then I kept scoring.
So a little stiffer worked.
Yeah, a little stiffer, and then my curve, I took it from William Eklund in San Jose Sharks.
Okay, yeah.
I like that one. It's a little bit of a mix of a P28 with a little bit more curve and then P29 with a little bit less.
So do you know William Eklund?
Yeah,
So you got to see a six and you're like, ooh, I like that. And then you took that?
Yeah, I tried that one during the summers and I liked it. So
maybe somebody will grab your stick one
day.
Yeah,
maybe.
I like that Noah Oslund stick.
Hopefully,
Yeah, they'll go like that.
For sure.
Who have you found, the answer could be everyone, but who have you found you've had the most chemistry with playing in Rochester this year?
Yeah, I think Rosie. I think we've been playing good together. Of course, he's an offensive guy that sees dice very good, so I enjoy playing with him. And we've been playing a lot with Murray, big guy, strong and great in front of the net, so that's been a good mix, I think.
That's why his nickname is the Big Mur.
Yeah,
Big Mur.
Big Mur, he's a big guy, he goes in front of the net. So is the speed a lot different from the AHL to the NHL? Because a lot of people always say, oh, you know what, it's a lot faster. But I remember we talked to, who was it that said he felt like he had more time in the NHL just because the execution was, he would get the puck on his stick.
Artu Ruotsalainen.
Artu Ruotsalainen. Yeah. That's right, Duffer. Thank you. He would say he felt like he had more time in the NHL. What do you see? Like more speed or more time?
I think more time, actually.
Okay.
Like in the NHL, there's a couple of guys just running around trying to hit you here. Most of the guys are like pretty skilled and knows where to be. So I think that's a big difference.
So when you get the puck, first of all, it's on your stick.
Yeah.
But second of all, everybody's in the right position, so you know what play to make.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's good.
Family still in town?
Yeah, actually, they get to see three games, so they're happy.
That's a good
really
week.
Good.
Yeah.
Were they scheduled to come in, or like when you got called up, they're like, we're going?
No, when I got called up, they went. But my dad was here until Saturday, and then he went home, and then he had to come back for the call up.
Collecting the air miles for the trip later.
And I got a fun story of him. He when he booked his flight first time to Rochester, he booked to Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, no. That is great
because
we had Yuri Kulik in here telling us that on Christmas he was going to go to Minnesota and he booked his flight instead of Christmas, December 24th, or he booked it for February 24th, so he booked it for the wrong month.
So him and his brother got all the way to
Toronto, and they were stuck in Toronto.
No way.
So your dad, did he get to Rochester, Minnesota?
Yeah, and then he had jumped in the rental car, and it's a 14-hour drive.
Yeah.
So then he had to go back and fly the next day to Rochester, New York.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So he landed, and did he know he was in Rochester, Minnesota?
No, he had no idea.
He was in Rochester.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he called me when he was in the car, and said 14 hours. He said it was like 15 minutes.
We're getting great stories of like plane, trains, and automobiles.
This is a series, right? Yes. This is the making of a series here. Sabres Travel.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to meet your dad and say, you know what, if you have any issues with driving around Minnesota, I'll help you.
Yeah. And stay here for longer.
Yes.
You know, now that you've got your feet on the ground here in Western New York. So what have they thought of all of this? And just, you know, on a regular basis, whether they are here or not, how much conversation do you typically have with them about hockey?
Yeah, I think pretty much. I think my dad is very interested in hockey. He has a lot of friends that have played, so he knows pretty much. But yeah, I would say we talk every other day. So they're happy to be here and they're proud of me. So that's good.
Do they wake up in the middle of the night to watch the games, or do they watch it the next day on replay?
Yeah, my dad wakes up almost every night.
Almost every
night. Yeah. And goes to sleep a little bit before and then wakes up. And
so the games would be at what, like 3
at 1 a.m.?
Yeah. Okay, so there's a 4-hour difference.
Yeah. No, it's six hours.
6 hours, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, so
seven to one.
Seven to one.
What's hometown for you?
It's like 40 minutes outside of Stockholm.
Small?
Yeah, small town.
Yeah.
Nykvarn, it's called.
And any other famous hockey players from right there?
Yeah, Carl Hagelin.
Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah.
I know Carl. Really, I played with him in New York, so I love Hags. Although, nobody thought he was a Swede because his English was perfect. Like, he played
college
hockey.
Yeah.
He would be, like, just fitting in everywhere.
Yeah. That's the Landeskog effect, too.
Long hair, exactly. Blonde, so but other than that,
totally.
So he's from the same town,
also. Yeah, Michael Samuelson.
Yep.
Yeah. He was in Detroit. That's my... That's my dad's one of his best friends. So,
That's cool.
He was a very effective player with Detroit.
Sure. Very. So I've gone to Stockholm and I've got to Gothenburg.
Yeah.
Which city do you like best, this or that? Because obviously Lindqvist is from Gothenburg. Yeah. He always said Gothenburg was better than Stockholm.
Yeah.
But which city do you like best?
Yeah, I would say Stockholm, of
Stockholm
course.
Stockholm is,
I live pretty close to there. So.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I remember we went to play against Frölunda.
Oh,
in a preseason game,
in
the
Gothenburg?
Rangers against, and it was unreal.
Yeah,
the atmosphere in Sweden is unreal.
Yeah,
so.
It's so cool. Yeah,
I should have done the research over the last two games and going into tonight. But have you been up against any good friends in the first few games?
No, I have not.
Okay,
I know Lysell a little bit. Played in Boston, but not that good. So not really.
Very good.
Okay, well, good. Well, you know, with. What do you think of Ovi getting to 895? Yeah. Like, you're like, I want to get one. He's
yeah,
got 895.
No. Yeah, that's
What'd
so cool.
What do you think
cool.
of that?
That's so cool. That's, a record no one thought was going to be broken. So that's so cool, and I think he deserves it, too.
Did you used to watch a little Ovi when you were a
kid? Yeah, of course, with that style and everything.
Were you Ovi or Sid?
I think I've been a Sid fan,
Yeah. Playmaker, plays the overall game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I like that.
Thank you for stopping
Perfect.
By.
Yeah,
Continued
course.
Success.
Yeah.
Great storytelling. We appreciate it. And,
can't wait to meet your dad.
Absolutely.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Great kid. There's no question about that. Yeah. And he's got a comfort level that is a joy to be around. And he looks to be here through the end of this regular season and then help guide the Amherst as they pursue a Calder Cup. And this is your last week to renew your seats and lock in for the next Sabres season. You can renew by Friday, the 11th of April at 5 p.m. to maintain access to savings on box office pricing, exclusive event initiatives or invites, and a lot more. Visit sabres.com/renew to lock in your seats today. All right, what more do you have to say about Noah after that visit?
That is so funny about his dad, who flew to Rochester, Minnesota, got in the car, and then is like, you told me it was 15 minutes away. It says 14 hours. Dad, I'm looking at your location right now. You're in a different state. So, and then... Like, as Noah said, he went back home to Sweden just to get... So he came to Rochester, spent some time, went back home to Sweden just to come back to Buffalo.
For the big moment.
For the big moment, for the, you know, for his game and all. So that's pretty incredible, the dedication. And I don't know what he does for a job, for a living, but I'm sure when he called his boss and said, I need more time off, they said, you go right ahead. My dad was like that. My dad literally was like... we're leaving on Wednesday. We're going to see Marty in Buffalo or Philly or New York. Mm-hmm. Boss was like, okay, no problem. Then it'd be like, we're leaving. We're going to see Matthew in Washington or Florida. Mm-hmm. Boss would be no problem. Like, it's just, you know, they facilitate it. But, yeah, it's always pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. The opportunity for, you know, parents, siblings, grandparents many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think of, you know, in the last window of time, the number of young players, obviously, that have come through Buffalo and just how genuinely excited, you know, they are to be in the arena and stop by the set and say hello. And it's almost hard to believe how many of them are thankful to all, like, everyone kind of involved in it, you know. And it's like, no, like, you don't need to thank anybody, like, just enjoy the moment here. But they are so thankful to be able to be in and around the moment and the moments when they unfold early on in these careers.
And that's what's special, right?
Yeah.
To be there and be able to experience it. But and it's changed over the years. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers had Olivier Rodrigue play his first NHL game. Mm-hmm. His family flew to Anaheim to catch the game between the Anaheim Ducks and the Edmonton Oilers. So that was cool. Saw them on TV. The mom's crying, right? She's wiping out tears. Seeing her son there, first NHL game. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Back in the days, it had to be in your contract. That I had that in writing in my contract that for my first or one of my first few NHL games, my mom and dad would get flown in, hotel for a couple of nights, and flown back. It was in your contract. Now, most teams kind of, like, it's just understood, like, okay, we'll try to make the arrangements, get tickets. Maybe they have to get their own plane tickets to get there or drive, but it's really cool. And also, everybody's getting so darn young. Like, maybe it's just because I'm getting old. He's talking about, oh, my dad's really good friends with Michael Samuelson. I just looked him up. He's born in 76. I played my whole career against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so you're saying your dad's best friend is my age,
right?
Which means, like,
Jacob could be Osland now.
I mean, Jacob's 20, so.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was 27 years old. Well, 26 when Jacob was born, I felt like dad was pretty young, right?
I'll give you some advice. Listen to more music. It'll keep you younger.
Well, maybe. I don't mind. I lose aux whenever my kids are in the car. It's like, dad, we're disconnecting you and connecting ourselves. So that's the way it goes.
Yes. And last night there were some, you know, big moments from, you know, if we're talking about individual players and how Noah liked watching Pavel Datsyuk, mm-hmm. and the recent Ovechkin milestone. And, you know, if there's one guy that I've been pushing this year between you and Shayna and me when we gather on our Friday installment.
What team?
Huh? MVP.
MVP Kucherov?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, this is crazy. I just...
And that was easy, slim picking against the Rangers. Let's just put it there.
Oh, so now we're going to pick apart all of Nathan MacKinnon's points and say, oh, well, look at the teams
I'm
he played against.
I'm taking a shot at the Rangers, not
I
at Kucherov.
Know you are. But here's the thing. So it's yet again another incredible race between MacKinnon and Kucherov. But the historical aspect of last night for Kuch. Fourth player ever.
Yeah.
With four, is it four or three consecutive 80-point seasons?
Well, Gretzky only did it 13 times.
No, I get that.
13 in a row.
Yes.
And we're celebrating four.
Was it four for Kuch?
Four in a row, yeah. Four 80-assist season in a row.
See, even that makes me just pause.
He had, he had 100 last year, which was incredible.
Oh, I know.
But, yeah, so.
No, it's three.
Three. Okay, three.
Thank you.
13 Wayne Gretzky, 3 Kucherov, 3 Paul Coffey, which was with Wayne and those, and Bobby Orr, obviously.
How would you like to be second to Gretzky?
In anything.
With Coffey and Orr.
Yeah.
But again, what were we talking about last week a lot? Playmaking winger. Like, Kucherov gets thought of, there's a million ways people look at Nikita Kucherov, right? But, like, beyond Gretzky, it's Coffey and Orr.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get in this list, right?
How about this?
So.
I was doing RDS yesterday. Mm-hmm. Before me, Ray Bourque was doing an interview. They asked Ray Bourque, you know, you have Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, Lane Hudson this year. Who is the best defenseman? Or who could you just compare those type of defensemen to maybe the best in your era? You know that Ray Bourque did not mention anybody because he hated not being the best, right?
Yeah.
He didn't mention Paul Coffey. I'm like, the first person that comes to mind when I think of Cale Makar, Lane Hudson, Quinn Hughes, it's the skating of Paul Coffey. He didn't mention Paul Coffey because Ray hated not being the best, and Paul Coffey was pretty much the best back then.
It's like how, well, that's debatable, obviously.
Yeah, it's debatable.
Especially in Ray's mind, but it's no different than how Waugh looks at Marty Brodeur.
Or Dom. And Patrick is like,
yeah,
no, I'm the best.
Right.
So that's the way it was.
Well, sadly, we end by talking about goaltenders and just stunning sad news in the hockey community yesterday with the passing of longtime NHL netminder and much longer NHL Hockey Night in Canada Sportsnet analyst Greg Millen passing away suddenly. And I mean, our business of hockey, the broadcast business, is incredibly small, incredibly small, despite its global reach. So I don't know about from your standpoint, because obviously it was a lot more Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, and you've done more work with TSN, but there's so much overlap. There's so much you've done in radio. There's so, you know, it just feels like we all talk and kind of quote-unquote work together over the course of time, and Greg has been a part of that for so long. It's just hard to believe he today is not part of that.
Yeah, incredibly sad to hear of Greg Millen's passing yesterday. I remember when he played for the Quebec Nordiques, right? He played for a lot of different teams. He played a half a season with Quebec, probably their worst season in their history, and they had some bad ones. They were, believe it or not, 21st in goals against and 21st in goals for that year, 89-90. But I remember the style, right? Right-handed catching goaltender, the big arrow flex. And then as a broadcaster, he was so good. He was so friendly with everybody, the players. He was in between the benches often and would have conversation with the players all the time. They knew he was. They grew up watching him. He was one of the best. And you talk about some of the internal rivalries, sometimes Sportsnet, TSN, like right now ESPN, TNT, whatever. He didn't care about that. Mm-hmm. He was great to everyone, and he was doing games, you know, until recently. And this is extremely upsetting and sad. And think of his family and, you know, everybody that worked with him. The Calgary Flames did not put a broadcast up last night. In respect for his family, they decided not to produce a broadcast. They've aired the San Jose broadcast because Greg Millen was doing Flames games a lot with Hockey Night in Canada, and they decided not to put anything up there. That's the impact that he has had on a lot of the fan base in Canada and a lot of the people.
Greg Millen passed away at 67. Our condolences to his family and all of his friends in the hockey community.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Sabres Hurricanes tonight, and a reminder that the finalists for this season's Rick Martin Memorial Award have been announced, and you can choose from Rasmus Dahlin, Alex Tuck, and Tage Thompson for the player that best embodies the attributes of on-ice excellence, resilience, and dedication to community. Visit sabres.com/Rico to vote now. Congratulations to the three finalists this year. It actually mirrors exactly who our Lexus leaders were on Sunday night in the post game after the win over Boston.
It was the three of them.
Tuck, Thompson, Dahlin. So,
and look, I mean, if you want to win regularly and next year make a push for the playoffs, obviously those three are going to be, you know, front and center when it comes to the but it's more than that. I mean, the Rick Martin Memorial Award is more than, you know, your performances on the ice. It's what you do off the ice in the community. And obviously those three have been very involved. You know, Dahlin with his new foundation this year. Tuck has had his going for a while. And Tage, I mean, I can tell you what I'm seeing, like his interaction with kids by the bench, you know, sometimes at the morning skate, after games, and has been definitely someone that has grown and learned that part of it as well. And makes them a worthy candidate also.
Sabres Canes tonight. Quickly back to last night. I mentioned Kucherov and Point, obviously. Played second fiddle, if you will, because he's not tracking down the Art Ross. But big night for him. He tops 40 once again. Two goals and an assist. Tampa routs the Rangers, who are effectively done now. They would have to run the table and hope with five games to go. So,
did you read the comments from Peter Laviolette after the game?
Last night, no.
So he was asked, what's your message to the team? And he goes, I don't have a message. I don't go in the rooms after the game.
Right. Common.
Yeah. But I think they were kind of like, and remember like 2 weeks ago now, a little over 2 weeks, when Tortorella was asked after the game.
Oh.
And he was like, I'm not interested in learning to coach this situation. Like, what you say after games matter. When you're being asked with your message to the team and you're a coach and you say, I have a message. It almost feels like you've thrown the towel and you've, like, maybe you have for a while. And Mark Messier said something like, look, the Rangers won an overtime game recently and it looked like they weren't even happy. Montreal won an overtime game and the bench is exploding and the building's exploding. And, like, that's the difference right now. There's no life in New York. I felt like there was no life in Laviolette after the game in his comments. And you get the game that you get where you lose 5-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning at home.
The difference, though, was they typically have been on the wrong end of the shots.
Yeah,
last night, Vasilevsky was number one star in-house. So, like, 39 shots for the Rangers.
Yeah.
It was a different performance. And I get what you're saying about emotion and jubilation upon victory. But the two teams have been in... they're not that far apart. But Montreal has been riding higher and longer waves of good than the Rangers have since the first 20 games of the season. So I think, as strange as, and it's a really interesting point that you make, because no matter where you are, you should embrace and, okay, maybe over-celebrate is the wrong word, but you need to over-enjoy the moments, I think, on the ice after a win. You have to.
You have to enjoy.
Sports kills you. From a joy standpoint, too many times, right? Like, it's inevitable over the course of an 82-game season. Even the good ones are going to lose, like, 30 times. So you have to offset that embracing the best.
That was one of my things when I look back at my career. I didn't celebrate the wins enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I needed to stay consistent. What's next? What's tomorrow we have practice? Okay, what's the next game? But now that I'm like, yes, like, that's a win. Doesn't matter. Like, celebrate it. Now, the New York Post is having a field day.
Of course.
With the New York Rangers. I mean, if you have ever grabbed the New York Post anywhere or been in New York City, they have some headlines that would make your head turn a little bit. And a couple of days ago, basically, it was that the power play is in the toilet. Now, the power play could be summarized by two letters.
Mm-hmm.
So put it together.
PP.
PP in the toilet. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And a big picture of... you know, Peter Laviolette. So it was pretty significant. And then, so today, it was brutal season, likely a sad end to Kreider's tenure. It's all but over. Trocheck and company wonder where it all went wrong. Like, there's a lot going on with the Rangers right now. And Chris Drury's got his work cut out to try to send it in the right direction.
Oh, the Post.
The Post. You could Google New York Post best headlines, and you're going to have some, obviously some that will stand out.
I was looking for it. Remember, sometime in the last decade, the Mayan calendar was suggesting that we were at the end of time.
Yes.
And, you know, so it was going to be all over at this certain date for all of us, right? So the Post had this screaming headline, "Buy this paper like there's no tomorrow."
You know what?
I remember
I was actually with the Rangers, because I think it was like maybe 12 years ago,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
12, 13 years ago. And I was with the, and we were flying to like somewhere, and we're like, it says at this day, at this time,
right,
the world would end. And we were on the plane. We're like, how much fuel do we got? Can we keep going?
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
You know what? Who else got goalied last night? The Edmonton Oilers, who are banged up.
Yeah.
They lost Podkolzin last night. Mm-hmm. Ratko Gudas had a cheap hit on Corey Perry. Lucas Dostal played well for the Anaheim Ducks, which he goalied them. So, you know, the Edmonton Oilers are kind of going in now thinking, okay, well, you know, we'll be lucky
Isn't
if we get
wild,
third
though?
In the Pacific.
The two teams that went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final are in disarray right now from an injury standpoint.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, what are these two going to look like on night one of the playoffs? And can they recapture them? By the way, producer Jeff just reminded me, it's exactly a year ago we had the total solar eclipse here in Western New York when many might have felt like that was the end for a moment or two.
It was a year ago. That was
so cool.
I feel
like it should be 2 or 3 years ago.
It would have been a lot better if it had been today because there is some blue skies out today. We would have seen it.
Yeah.
Last year, we saw a little bit of it.
We did.
Depending on where you were in Western New York.
Where has this show gone? I feel like it's
how about
been
this?
A
so Florida
places.
Did not have Barkov the last few games.
Yes.
Reinhardt and Forsling didn't play last game. It looks like all three may be back now. So something to watch for Florida heading into the playoffs if they can get their guys back.
Buffalo home to Carolina tonight. Ottawa can clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2017. They are at Columbus, and we know how tough a run it has been for the Jackets. So huge, huge step for Ottawa
Calgary's
tonight.
Calgary's still alive, though.
Calgary.
And I know we're talking about last night.
No.
Calgary, they were awful in the first period against San Jose. Were outshot 17-7.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Dustin Wolf had some moments of brilliance.
He was unreal. And yes, you know, and it was a couple of saves on Will Smith, one on Maxime Celebrini. It was incredible. And the Flames came back in the third. They win. They stay alive. They get to play the Minnesota Wild on Friday. Mm-hmm. That may be the one, like, you know,
and because
kind of chance.
You look at the Western Conference standings, the Blues are now running out of games. Obviously gave themselves an incredible cushion with the 12-game winning streak, but they lost to Winnipeg last night. But the interesting thing is Calgary is four back of Minnesota with a game in hand. They are six back of St. Louis with two games in hand. So effectively, it's that same distance that they can close themselves to, and now the Blues only have three games remaining. This is, you know, they're in a good to great spot, but they don't have the X beside their name yet. And when you don't have it, and there's only three left, those three all of a sudden feel like, you know what? There's actually
pressure. You lose the first one, and then it's like, oh, it's gonna tighten up a little bit. But the problem with Calgary is they don't get to play the Blues, and so but they get to play Minnesota. So you're 2 points back technically if you win your games in hand from either one, but you get to play Minnesota. You win that game against the Wild, you're basically even.
Yes, and
the notes are coming back of the coming out of the backpack.
Well, sorry, I just want to have some clarity in front of me. Yeah, St. Louis has Edmonton, Seattle, and Utah. But the interesting thing is over the last five nights of the NHL season, they only have one game, and they have to sit and wait after that last game to watch two more nights.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
but Calgary has Anaheim tomorrow, Minnesota on Friday, and then they go back against San Jose before they finish the season with Vegas.
And L.A. Ooh. At L.A.
And L.A.
I mean, and those two, Vegas and L.A., are still technically jockeying for top spot in the Pacific. So the Flames can play a role in that. And yeah.
Unfortunately, Vancouver's out. The Rangers are out. Detroit could be out tonight. There's teams that are falling off right now. Obviously, it's the end of the season. That's what happens.
Well, when Montreal defeats
Detroit.
Florida, Detroit tonight.
Is it Florida, Detroit?
No, sorry, wrong notes. Yeah, Detroit, Montreal tonight.
Yeah,
see, this is what happens when you bring the notes out.
I
brought the wrong day's notes out.
Yeah, it's Sunday's game.
When Montreal clinches, which seems likely now, Lane Hutson, in my opinion, is so far and away the runaway choice for Rookie of the Year.
And that's why you have to evaluate at many different stages of the season.
Because
there's a time this year where it was Mitchkov early in the year.
Yep.
Then it was Celebrini, he came back. Then Hutson kind of took over a little bit and then cooled off, then came back. Like, you have to evaluate everywhere. But right now, there is no debate. Dustin Wolf was in the conversation, and look, it probably would be Hudson Wolf 1 and 2, and then Celebrini, and then Mitchkov.
Like, if Calgary made it, you mean?
If Calgary made it, it's definitely 1 and 2. But Hudson is the runaway. I can't wait to see the voting on that. But I think Lane Hutson is number one for sure.
Not to open a wound, but do you know how many points per game Hudson averages against the Sabres?
Two.
8 points in the four head-to-head games, which were all Montreal wins this year.
He kept giving the puck to Patrick Laine on the power play.
He did that too.
That led to a lot of goals, a hat trick.
Yeah, and do you know how I stumbled on that again last night?
You were doing some deep dive
into tonight's matchup.
Oh, with... Who would have 2 points a game or something like that?
Who has had the most goal-scoring success against Buffalo among active players who have played more than 10 games?
Is Sebastian Aho that guy?
Sebastian Aho is that guy, and guess what number he landed on in goals per game?
One.
No.
Two.
Recent discussion we had on a one-timer. Who do you want to score a goal?
Mike Bossy.
0.76 goals per game. Aho has scored 16 goals in 21 lifetime games against Buffalo. Forget the points.
This conversation with Steve DePainter this morning, he was like, who's the greatest goal scorer? And I'm like, for me, it's Mike Bossy. And, he's like, wow. Like, he thought his opinion was Mario Lemieux. Like, he's like, Mario Lemieux was the best goal scorer for me.
They're as close as humanly possible.
They are. It's a question of, preference. Like, there's an apple and an orange on the table, which one you want to take. That's basically what it is.
So, the Sabres will take on Aho and the Canes. Rod Brindamore says Kotkaniemi is going to be out for at least a week, but nothing too serious for Carolina. And who else? Carrier is not going to play, but Staal and Svechnikov will. That is your latest update. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, enhanced broadcast tonight on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 5.
It's not because we're doing more. Not you and I.
No.
We're doing our job. We stick to our lane. But someone who likes hockey very much but is more versed at football is going to join Rob Ray in between the benches, and that's Steve Tasker. Now, Steve, be careful. Razor is taking pucks to the face, sticks to whatever. Between the benches, it happens fast. So maybe they got to get him a helmet and a visor or something. But Steve will be there between the benches. Don't know if it's going to be the whole game or just a period or whatnot. Just we'll see how it goes. But Steve Tasker will be the third man in the boot at the broadcast today.
But second man between the benches.
I mean, it gets tight in there. It's going to get tight.
That's going to be amazing.
I can't wait to hear.
I hope Steve wears a Bills helmet. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, now with the visors, like they have those visors,
yes.
It would be perfect. It would be very, very safe for Steve to be there. But yeah, when I did Bald for Bucks, Steve Tasker was here, mm-hmm. and he stopped by. And I love when he comes to the games, like he's got the hat on, the sweatshirt, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden a couple of people recognized him. He was mobbed by people. And it was great because they were all taking pictures. And obviously Steve is awesome. He's taking pictures with everybody. So it will be fun. Steve Tasker tonight between the benches with Rob Ray.
Kochetkov in goal for Carolina. Okay. Reimer for the Sabres. And what else? Like, what is the one thing? Buffalo had a win here on home ice against Carolina. They had a tough loss a month later. That was one coming out of, Four Nations. They'd won a couple of games, and then it, unfortunately went the wrong way for a half dozen, and that Carolina game was a part of it. So what do you think?
What I think is the Sabres are in a good run right now, mm-hmm. and their game matches Carolina's game really well. Carolina's deep. They got Svechnikov in the third line. Like, really, the way that their lines are labeled or not, like, mm-hmm. I think he's higher in the lineup. But it's about former Sabres in the lineup tonight. You got Tyson Jost, Taylor Hall, Eric Robinson. So, and they all have had good impact, especially Robinson and Taylor Hall. They've had good impact with the Carolina Hurricanes.
They really have. The story of Eric Robinson has been remarkable. 14 goals, 32 points, mm-hmm. And it has been there from the start. What else? What is?
So no, you know what? I'll tell you. It's a beautiful day in Buffalo. It snowed a little bit in the south towns today. It's a little chilly, so much so that you know what? The opening series of the Buffalo Bisons, their game has been postponed, and they're going to try to play it tomorrow. But looks like it's going to be cold and rainy tomorrow. So maybe not so much of a good weather, baseball weather for the Bisons right now.
All right. And we have some special guests tonight.
We are going to have U.S. sled hockey team. A couple members are going to join us on the pregame show. Got to meet them today. It's going to be awesome because the World Championship sled hockey is at Lecom Harbor Center. So
end of May, final week of May.
It will be fantastic. I'm telling you, go watch it. But we'll talk about it in the pregame tonight.
Indeed. So tune in 6:30 tonight, Sabres and Canes. Buffalo looks to run the win streak to 5. And we'll see you then. Thanks for being with us on Sabres Live.